again, that's another example of our bodies want to be healthy, but we're told, we're lied to every single day. Every single day we are lied to by the powers that be, the powers that are supposed to make us healthy or to keep us healthy. We are being lied to. We are being led astray by big pharma. We are being led astray by big agribusiness. We are being led astray by big soda.
This is the Medicine Podcast. I am Mimi, Mushroom Queen, AHCC educator, and culinary nutrition expert. I am quite obsessed with providing the unique knowledge for those that want to prevent disease in their body, in their mind, and in their relationships. If that's you, then you are in the exact right place, my love. Let's go take the medicine. Hello, my beautiful friends. Oh my gosh, could you hear the passion in this man's voice? Y'all are going to witness me fangirl super hard in this episode. Today, I have the pleasure of sharing with you my interview with Dr. Fred Pescatore, who has really been one of the most influential people in my education on disease prevention. Dr. Fred is one of the most sought-after integrative physicians in the United States. He's appeared on all of the major morning shows that you could possibly think of, written 8 books, and one of them being my AHCC Bible. That's what I call it. Dr. Fred is an MD. He's a medical doctor, but he speaks more like a naturopathic doctor, which, in my opinion, is how every doctor should speak. Let's be real. But what I love about Dr. Fred is that he is a powerhouse when it comes to using food as medicine and really getting to the root of the problem for each of his patients, which you will hear all about. Some of the things we talk about today include his unique approach to healthcare and medicine, how he first learned about AHCC and became one of the first U.S. physicians to actually use it in practice. And he ended up using it on all of his hardest cases. So interesting. We also discuss a lot about nutrition and how he recommends using food as medicine. Dr. Fred is also very outspoken about the brokenness of our current medical system. So he shares with us what we can all do to be an advocate for our own health in this current broken system. This hour of interviewing him honestly flew by because I was just enjoying myself so much. I am in awe of this man, and this honestly was a bucket list guest for me. I am so excited to get to share all of his knowledge and wisdom with you when it comes to nutrition and AHCC. He is such an angel of a man, and he cares so much about truly helping people heal, not just throw prescriptions at us like most doctors do. When you listen to this and love it, I promise you will. Please send it to someone you know who needs a little extra encouragement with their health. I feel like we all know that person who needs a little bit more of an advocate. And if they need to hear from, you know, from a doctor, a medical doctor about HCC or about using food as medicine, send them this episode. Then scroll down, and I would love if you would give me a rating and review. It really helps other people find and discover the healing benefits of mushrooms and the medicine. And plus, it absolutely makes my day to read these reviews from you guys. I appreciate you so much. I'll see you on the other side. Okay, bye.
Good morning, Dr. Fred. We are recording.
Excellent. Good morning, Mimi. How are you today?
I am great. I am in sunny San Diego and I am loving life. And this is honestly, this is going to be the best part of my day, getting to talk to you, because this is a bucket list item for me. I kid you not. And I told you, I just mentioned, I am going to shower you with some gratitude right off the bat, because I read your book. It's called AHCC, The Medical Breakthrough in Natural Immunotherapy. When I first heard about AHCC, saw this book on Amazon, got it right away, and it really was the thing to kind of light a fire under me. As I read, I was equal parts amazed at the research and the stories and the clinical data, equal parts amazed and equal parts kind of frustrated and angry, because it is such a powerful tool in healthcare, and I don't think it's utilized. And so you really put a fire under me to educate more people about it. And then the last year and a half of my life has been a whirlwind, and educating more and more people about this and getting people out of suffering. So that is mostly in part to you and the book that you wrote that so inspired me.
Wow. That's an amazing. Thank you so much. That's really quite touching. And I was saying this the other day yesterday on a show that I was doing, that, you know, we send all of this stuff, and I'm sure it happens to you as well. We send all of this stuff out into the universe, and very few people give us feedback about it. You know, you write books, you do podcasts, you do whatever, television, radio. You never know what the feedback is. And it's really nice sometimes to hear that you actually are, you know, somebody is reading your newsletter, someone is reading your book, and you're making an impact in people's lives. And it's kind of nice to hear that sometimes. So thank you for that.
And you're never fully aware of the extent of the impact of the ripple, because through me, I've already, not to toot my own horn, but it's just a fact, touched hundreds and hundreds of people through this. And so if I never spoke to you, you would never be aware of that,
no,
that extent. And so this is honestly just an honor for me. I don't know if you remember reading this in the email, but I created the first AHCC food. So they're little, they call them brain hits, and they're little bites of nuts and seeds and honey and 500 milligrams of AHCC in each one. I have 6 different flavors, and I named each of the flavors after a person who has impacted my life and my journey. And you are named after, or rather, the Freddy is named after you. And so, and he's my most popular flavor. He's a peanut butter and collagen.
Yummy. Yeah. That would have been my favorite too. That's perfect.
People love Freddy. So I hope you don't mind me referring to you as Freddy, but I had to make it cute.
Not at all.
Okay. Enough gushing from me.
All right.
Let's get into, because I have quite a few questions that I want to ask you today. Most of the questions that I am, since I heard about you, I am so fascinated by your work and how you approach medicine and ultimately how you use AHCC with your patients and in your practice. But first, I want my listeners to just get a taste or a touch of who you are as a person.
Okay.
So the question that I ask everybody right off the bat, everyone I interview, is what aspect or what do you love in your life so much that you wish you could gift to every human?
I think what I would gift to every human for my life is my fearlessness. Mm. I travel around the world. I uncover everything. I look for different things. I explore different things. I question authority at all times. and I never take no for an answer. So I think, you know, when you think about it, it all boils down to one thing, which is I don't have much fear. And so many people live their lives in fear. They're afraid to do anything. And they're afraid to reach for their goals. They're afraid to try something new in health, you know, to get themselves to feel better. And I think if people just had a little bit of that fearlessness that I have, I think it would go a long way for people, because too many people come from fear.
Yeah.
And it stops us from doing a lot.
I love that. I love that answer. And I'm thankful for your fearlessness, because your fearlessness has helped and impacted so many people.
Thank you.
So the first question that I would love to ask you is, I really want to know a little bit about how you approach medicine and healthcare when you're working with patients and in your practice, and how that might be different than other or many doctors out there.
Well, it's definitely different from most doctors. I approach medicine from, I always want to get to the cause of your problem. So it's not to do with, I don't want to put a Band-Aid on your problem, which is really when I graduated from residency, I wanted to give up medicine. I was unhappy. All I was doing was putting band-aids on people in the hospital, people dying. It just wasn't something I wanted to spend the rest of my life doing. Luckily, that's when I came across Dr. Robert Atkins and started to work for him. And he was truly my mentor. He changed my life and how to look at medicine, how to deal with it. And so I like looking at the root cause of the disease. So if you get to the root cause of the disease, you're going to be able to fix someone for the long haul. I don't want to just fix you for today and then have you come back tomorrow for something else. And I'm also a big teacher. I like people to understand why they're doing what I ask them to do. So all of my appointments are anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour. You know, I don't rush people through the door. I mean, I know their family, you know, I know their entire living situation, who they're living with, their family, their friends, you know, everything, because that's how you can truly heal someone, is if you know what's going on in their lives. And if you know, because, you know, I'm seeing you for 30 minutes or an hour, and that's sort of not in your real world. So you've got to tell me really what's going on in your real world. Otherwise, I can't get to that. So I guess the short answer is, let's get to the cause of the problem, the root cause of the problem, no matter how we do that. And I like to, you know, I like integrating medicine, real medicines and nutritional supplements. But I will just say one thing is that if you don't have a good diet, diet has to come first. Diet is the foundation for everything we do here. I can't give you enough supplements. I can't give you enough drugs to correct what you do to yourself. So everybody comes in and we start with diet and then we build the foundation from there.
That's amazing. I love that. Which reminds me of a quote that I pulled from a podcast that I listened to you recently. You said, and I love this. It just resonated. When you're dealing with food, you're dealing with people's lives. And you might not even remember saying that because it was, I think it was like 2012, but you're nodding your head like, yeah, I'm right.
It's so true. I mean, come on. I mean, you are what you eat. I mean, it is really true that you are what you eat. And so if you are damaging, I mean, we're literally being poisoned by the food that we eat. Every single solitary day, we're being poisoned and poisoned and poisoned again. Every time I read something else, we're being poisoned from a different direction. So if our food supply is basically toxic, then how are our bodies going to be healthy?
Yeah.
So to cavalierly play with the food supply and not think about all the glyphosate that's in that's everywhere. The fact that we now have over 700 chemicals in a baby, you know, every newborn has over 747 chemicals in their cord blood. You know, that's just recently, you know, that's just in the last couple of generations that has happened. So when you're feeding people badly, you're going to kill them.
And so that's coming from the mother to the baby, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because that's just what's in, you know, everything you touch the, you know, every cleaning supply, most things you use to wash yourself with, all of those things are carcinogenic. I mean, they're toxin. They're all toxic for us, whether they're obesogens, whether they're endocrine disruptors, all of those things. And the list goes on and on and on about what these things are. But they do damage us, and most of it comes from food. So if you want to eat badly, just know that you're killing yourself.
I think, unfortunately, some people equate food with being skinny or being overweight, and they don't necessarily think, if I don't have a weight problem, then I don't have a health problem. And unfortunately, it doesn't work that way.
That is a great point, though. I mean, that's an excellent point, people, because I'll get people here, mostly usually women, in their 40s as they're approaching perimenopause, and they're kind of like, I never had to worry about what I ate. And I'm like, yeah, you kind of did. But
apparently, maybe.
But now you have a reason to. So now you have an incentive to. Yeah. But I like the fact that I get a lot of the children of my patients, you know, the sort of teenagers, even some as old, young as, you know, 8 and 4. And so they're kind of teaching, you know, their parents want me to teach them how to eat correctly too. So that's, I think, huge. I think that's a huge step. So yeah. In the path to health and wellness in our country.
Yes, I so agree. So I'm so curious to know when and how did you first learn about AHCC and this functional food, and what inspired you to write a book about it? What made you feel so strongly about it?
Well, I first learned about AHCC. The company actually came to me. I was working at the Atkins Center, and they came to me to present this new supplement that they were importing into the United States for the first time. So I was probably one of the first people in the country to use it.
Wow.
And so I said, you know, and I'm always not dubious. What's the word I'm looking for? What we're looking for? Cautious. When, you know, a new company comes without research and, you know, all this stuff. I mean, and AHCC did have research in Japan. It didn't have any real research going on in the United States at the time. So I'm like, okay, fine, I'll do it. They're like, do it. And I'm like, I will do it on the toughest cases I have and see if it works. Because in those days, I chose hepatitis C. Because hepatitis C, we didn't have anything, you know, there was no cure. There were just bad drugs, you know, and it didn't cure you half the time. Most people failed the cure because it was so hard to do. And it didn't cure you anyway. Now hepatitis C is a completely different story. We have wonderful drugs that treat it, but then we didn't. So I said, okay, I'll do a little in-office study. And I think I put 10 patients on hepatitis C. Who had hepatitis C on AHCC. And I think I also threw in two HIV patients who didn't want to take, you know, who didn't take medication, or they were too early to take medication in those days. And again, those were the days before PrEP and all that stuff. So these were really hard things to deal with. And it worked on every one of those cases. It raised the T cells in the HIV patients. And it kept the viral load down and the liver function, and it lowered the liver function tests in my hepatitis C patients. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. There you go. There's something I didn't have before. Another tool for my toolbox. It was great. So that's how I fell in love with AHCC. Right. And then the company really started getting involved in research and incorporate, you know, and recruiting researchers from all over the world to figure out what it could possibly do, because they really wanted to focus on cancer. And HCC is so much more than just about cancer for me. So I kept encouraging them to, you know, let's try other things like hepatitis C, let's try other things, you know, other sort of inflammatory things. Let's just look. So it was really just a lovely collaboration between the two, you know, the company that actually produces the supplement and myself. And so it worked out really, really well. And I got to know the entire company, and it just became, and that's, I think, what inspired me to write the book, is because it has so many uses and it is so versatile, and it's not an immune stimulant, you know, it's an immunoregulator, you know, it helps to regulate the immune system for what the immune system needs, not just like echinacea or golden seal that just ramps up the immune system for a short period of time. This actually gets all the soldiers of your immune system to work, to fall in line, and to do what they're supposed to do. So that's what I loved about it.
I love that. I often tell people when I'm trying to explain what it does, I often say it's like multiplying your immune army by up to 300% and giving every single soldier a 5G satellite radio and telepathy. So everyone knows.
The correct task. And the correct task.
Yes. Yeah, that's important.
We have lots of autoimmune diseases, right? And that's when one part of the immune system is not doing what it's supposed to do. It's overacting or underacting and all of that. And AHCC, you know, is a great immunomodulator. So it sort of keeps all the soldiers in line as well. Yeah. So that they're each doing what they're supposed to do and not overreacting.
Yeah, I try to convey that it's immune intelligence. It's more intelligence for your immune system rather than one action or the other. So fascinating. Thank you for sharing that. Sure. I love that you were one of the first Americans using it.
It was used in hospitals in Japan. Like it still is used in hospitals in Japan. And nobody really in the United States was using it.
Why do you think... I still don't hear much from doctors and healthcare providers. They've even heard of it. And oftentimes when I do mention what I do and how I educate people, they kind of, like I did when I first heard about it, I thought I knew about mushrooms. And I kind of was like, I had some hesitation to it when the way that I learned about it was, I'm a clinical dental hygienist as well. And one of our patients got diagnosed with HPV later in life, and her naturopath recommended AHCC, and she was cleared. And so it really piqued my interest, and I was like, I have to know about this. So that was almost 2 years ago, and I started digging into it, and I haven't stopped. And I get a lot of kind of pushback or hesitation from other healthcare providers that maybe haven't heard about it or know what it does or anything. And I'm wondering why, because it is so powerful and there is a lot of research behind it, why it's taking so long to move its way into the United States or other countries.
Well, it's gone. I mean, HCC has had quite a journey. I mean, you know, I've been using it. Remember, when was I at the Atkins Center? That was probably 25 years ago at the beginning of my career. And so it's come a huge way in that period of time. I mean, to expect general practice, you know, to expect regular medical doctors to even think about the immune system is challenging, because you certainly can't expect oncologists who think about the immune system to deal with it, because it's like, it's a supplement. I'm sure it's bad for you, because that's what they think every supplement is bad for you. Every oncologist thinks that. And so it doesn't, there's no definable mechanism of action in the way that conventional American or Western medicine would think about it. So if they don't have a X does Y situation, they can't wrap their heads around it. That's why it's so hard to do nutritional clinical research, because nutritional supplements don't operate in a vacuum the way blood pressure medication does, for instance, or cholesterol medication, those useless things. You know, not hypertensive medication, cholesterol medications. So, you know, that's X implies Y. We don't have that nutritional supplement education. So I think that's why it's difficult for doctors who don't understand, conventional doctors especially, who don't understand that the body works together. Our bodies are a system with our mind, you know, with everything. And they're just like, you know, you talk to a cardiologist, it's all about the heart. Well, the patient can't move with all the drugs you put them on. Like, can we do something about this? Like, no. But their heart is protected. I'm like, they can't get out of bed. You know, so I'm just going to take away five of these drugs that you put them on, and maybe they'll be able to walk and do something and not just have their heart live, but they can actually have a life. So I think that's where, you know, where it comes in. Like CoQ10, for instance, coenzyme Q10 actually has a use, and a lot of conventional medical doctors are seeing its specific use when you put them on statin medications, because statin medications do deplete CoQ10. So that they can wrap their heads around. Like, there's one thing that does one thing, so here's the thing that fixes it. They can't wrap your head around how does this supplement modulate the immune system, and what is even the immune system, you know? What is it?
Which seems, I'm giggling here because it seems so laughable when you say it out loud, but yeah. That you're not being flippant. Like, that is real within the medical system.
No, it's real. And it's a battle I fought, you know, for years and years and years about this thing, but it's a battle. I fight the medical establishment all the time. So it is what it is. But, you know, I mean, even if you think about the birth of paleo and keto and all of this stuff as being the be all and end all. I've been doing that for 30 years, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, again, vitamin D, we were the first ones doing vitamin D. Now regular medicine deals with vitamin D, you know, so there are some things that they get. It just takes an awful long time for it to percolate generation through generation. I mean, every time I have to fight an insurance company about something, who am I dealing with? I'm dealing with an 80-year-old doctor.
Yeah.
Basically. And not that there's anything wrong with 80-year-old doctors, but they just haven't been in clinical practice or they were never taught anything about nutrition anyway. Not that doctors today are taught about nutrition, but you know what I mean? So it's fighting that mindset, and it's fighting a mindset that's really difficult to change.
All right. I want you to think about something for me. When was the last time you thought to yourself, man, my immune system feels really good? I'm going to guess probably never, because when our immune system is functioning properly, we don't really think about it much. Now, when it's not operating at its full potential, things like HPV, chronic fatigue, HIV, hepatitis, diabetes, autoimmune issues, Lyme disease, cancer, arthritis, or other chronic issues kind of get our attention, right? Then you might think more about your immune system. If you're dealing with one of these chronic issues, or maybe you're healthy and you just want a way to prevent them and keep your family healthy too, either way, I have good news for you. You can give your body daily immune intelligence with AHCC. It comes from shiitake mushrooms, so it's literally safe for all of us. And remember, AHCC regulates the immune system. So it's not boosting or suppressing. It's actually recognizing what your body specifically needs and then delivers that to you. AHCC doesn't fight the disease. AHCC heals your body, and then your body can heal the disease. If you want to grab some, go to getmimifit.com and click on Mimi's store, or just scroll down and find it in the show notes below. You can heal. Don't give up. You can count on AHCC. Okay, back to the interview.
It's difficult for you as a doctor speaking and working with other doctors. It seems almost impossible for someone who isn't a doctor, just a regular person, to be able to go into their doctor and have confidence in, even if they are taking AHCC or other, you know, backed supplements, to say, oh, this is why I'm taking this, and I believe in this, and this. I've heard from plenty of people that they actually get laughed at by their doctors, which is like, it makes me so sad to hear that they're not even, you know, patients that have come to me who have cleared their HPV because of AHCC, why is that gynecologist, or how are they not saying, oh my gosh, what did you do? Tell me everything.
Thank you. I say the same thing all the time. I'm like, how does your doctor want to know? They'll be like, you know, so two things happen. One, you get ridiculed, which I feel really badly for the patient. So I'm like, just don't tell them. You know, like, they don't know about it, what they don't. And oftentimes I'll get, yeah, my doctor thinks I'm on my cholesterol got lowered, or like my weight's gone down, or whatever. You know, my hemoglobin A1C, which is for blood sugar, all that got better. But they think it's from what they're giving me. So they just say, keep on doing it, and they keep writing the prescriptions, and I haven't taken any of it. Or then you know, I'll have cancer patients, and my cancer patients are like, you know, they're all like, they all do better than every other cancer patient because all of them are on AHCC and various other things. And the docs are like, well, I don't know what voodoo stuff you're doing, but I don't want to hear about it. And so for the first time in my life, 2 months ago, I had a doctor say, this patient has done better than any of my other patients on this regimen. I want to talk to you, and I want to know what you're doing so that I can refer other patients to you so that they have the same outcome. Wow. That's the first time in almost 30 years of doing this that I've had a doctor want to know what I do for their patients.
Mm. Wow.
So it happens, you know, and I actually think it's easier for a lay person to talk to other lay people, because you've had experiences. People like to talk to, you know, people that they know, and they listen to people that they know. And unfortunately, you know, there's this great big divide between someone like you. Who are you going to go see as a doctor? How are you going to figure that out when you need a physician? Because a physician that's not going to listen to you, yeah, that's not someone you want to be working with. You have to trust these people with your life, basically. Yeah. And to not have them believe you or to discredit what you think, I think is really not a very therapeutic relationship.
Or even to ask a question. You don't even have to go along with it. You don't have to adopt this modality or this practice. No. But even just be curious, like, oh, tell me about it, or tell me more. Yeah, that's a huge struggle, which I think it then pushes people into, and I advocate for this anyways, no matter what doctor you're working with, you can't simply rely on the doctor. You have to be your own advocate for your own health. So what I tell the clients that I work with is, if you're taking HCC and you want to talk to your doctor about it, print off 5 of the studies related to your condition, take it in and show them, physically hand it to them and say, well, here it is. This is why I'm taking this. And when it's in the Journal of Oncology or Frontiers in Oncology, it's a little hard, it's harder to discredit. So I try to arm my clients with more ammo so they can feel comfortable in exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, no, that's a great way of doing it. I mean, again, but I think being an advocate for your own health is absolutely the way to go. You have to be. And I think that's how this business grew. You know, that's the beauty of how all of this grew. It's because people knew about it. People were telling their friends that they got better doing this, they got better doing that. And it kind of just snowballed, because this industry, this alternative medical industry, whatever you want to call us, integrative medicine, nutritional, whatever you want to call us, we had no support from pharma, no support from hospitals, no support from anybody, no support from the big medical educations. In fact, we actually had people like trying to take our licenses away. You know, the amount of bows, the slings and arrows I've had to deal with in the course of almost 30 years of doing this has been crazy. But I love fighting the fight, because I'm fighting it for you, all of you guys, you know, and if it weren't for you guys, I wouldn't be able to do this, you know. So it's kind of like, it's really exciting for me when I get to talk to another audience and I get to talk to people, because without them, we wouldn't have this ability to do this, because yeah. It was you guys that got Deshaies passed, and, you know, got all of these old things that we all take for granted now. When I started doing this, this was all brand new. You couldn't go to the store and get gluten-free anything, or had anybody know what vegan was or gluten-free was, or any of this stuff. And now you can go anywhere, and it's part of the conversation. Yeah. And that's all grassroots. That's all people like you, not people like me. It's really people like you, which is great.
Thank you. Well, people will send gratitude my way. Thank you for doing this. And to me, in my head, I'm thinking, well, I actually can't stop. So it's not like a choice now. Seeing the impact that just simple things can have, and simple education for people. That's why I left my dental hygiene job and stepped into the unknown fearlessly. Not so fearlessly, actually. There was some fear.
But there's always a little bit of fear. Yeah.
But, you know, bravery is in the presence of fear, you still step into it. And when I started getting feedback from clients and people who were, I was educating, that they're coming back and they're healed or whatever, I'm like, okay, I don't have a choice now. I have to do this. So I want to know from you, how on a daily basis, do you use AHCC in your practice on a regular basis? And what does that look like for your personal patients?
I must write and or talk about AHCC. Well, at least every day. So pretty much most of my patients will be on it, especially during cold and flu season. I put all of my patients on it, make sure they're taking it. So, I mean, that's kind of what it looks like. I mean, I sort of evaluate them. I don't want to say that I put everybody on it, because I don't. Mm-hmm. But I would say most patients who come to see me are, you know, they're a self-selected group. So they're going to know about kind of what I write about, what I talk about. They're going to know some things that are kind of going to kind of be standard that they're going to be on. You know, and AHCC always makes the list of my desert island list of supplements, which is, you know, if I were stuck in a desert island with 10 supplements, would I have to take with me? Yeah. And that changes every year. That gets updated every year. But AHCC has been on it perennially. So yeah, I haven't done 2020s yet. I have to remember. I'm going to write that down.
Do you write an article for this, or is it just for your own personal?
No, I have a newsletter that goes out every 3 times a week, free to people. It's an e-newsletter. And so I write that for them.
Okay.
Every year, and they can get that on my website.
Yeah, I will put that
on my website. Yeah.
I'll link that in the show notes. That's pure gold, people. When you're whoever's listening, this that's pure gold. So what if someone is worried about the safety or possible side effects of AHCC? What do you tell them?
Well, we have safety and I was the one who did the first safety and efficacy safety study. So it's safe. There's no, that's the easiest thing to do. And it's something every nutritional supplement company should do is a safety study because it's cheap and it's easy. And then you know your product's safe. Mm-hmm. So it is safe. There's always the caveat about pregnant women, lactating women, all of that jazz, but it's a mushroom. Like, how can it possibly harm you? You know what I mean?
I get that question. That's probably the most common question that I get about it is it safe for pregnancy and breastfeeding? Right. And I have
you don't to- know the answer to that. So you got to say no. I mean, because, you have to, but if it's my patient, I'm sort of like, it's fine. Like, it's a mushroom. If you eat mushrooms, it's going to be fine. The only thing we ever found in any of our studies, and I think you could look through most of the studies that have been done in AHCC, some people get GI upset, but people get GI upset on almost anything. You know what I mean? So that's not, especially nutritional supplements. So that's not really, I don't think of that as a side effect. I just think, you have to lower the dose, take it with food, you just have to change the way you take it and you'll be able to tolerate it.
Yeah.
Unless you break out in a rash, but because there's always somebody allergic to something, So.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned in my AHCC Bible, I call it, that side effect or, it's rare, but it happens is due to the fact that it's a great prebiotic. And so if somebody's way off with their digestion and whatever, because AHCC is such a good prebiotic for those bacteria, sometimes it can cause some distress. But in the long run, it's actually good because...
Oh, yeah. It'll fix that discomfort in the long run. So, but that's the only real negative that I see to it. I don't even see it as a negative. So
yeah,
it just is what it is.
Do you have a specific, I'm sure you have many, but do you have one that comes to your mind, just kind of an incredible story about maybe a personal patient that used it and you were like, I know you explained the hepatitis already, but is there another one that stands out to you that you would want to share?
Well, it's one of the hepatitis C patients that stands out the most because she still thanks me to this day for introducing her to AHCC. And for taking care of her liver all of these years. And actually another one who still refuses to go on the medication, she still, talks about AHCC every since, like, thanks me so much for putting her on it. So many years ago, we're talking 20 years, I have these patients and their liver functions are fine and they're not doing anything. And one did take medication and she's the one that just thanks me for still keeping her, and the other one hasn't taken the medication. And they're both very, very thankful and grateful for doing that, for me introducing them to AHCC. And so those are the ones that really stick the most in my mind. And because it's remarkable the things that can happen with people, by just doing that. And the reason why I use those examples are because that was the only thing we changed in their protocol.
So it was measurable.
Absolutely. So I can say, yes, that was the thing that did it. A lot of times, again, like in the nutritional world, we put people on, change your diet, fix your gut, do all of this, take 45 supplements and you'll get better. Yeah. And they do, which is great. But these were times when I could absolutely attribute it to AHCC without a doubt.
That's amazing. I love that. I don't know if you're allowed to say, but do you remember the dose by chance?
Probably 3 grams, because that was the dose we were doing. It was a high dose for hepatitis C.
Okay. And is that something that they stay on? Just do they lower down to a maintenance dose after they're kind of cleared of their symptoms and then stay on it?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, my maintenance dose that I use is 500 milligrams. But when I look at all the cancer studies and I look at those types of studies, like if you're looking at cold, flus, those types of things, 500 to 1,000 milligrams enough. But when you're looking at the cancer studies, a lot of them were done on 3 grams or more. So that's kind of the dose that I use for, you know, heavy duty patients who have real, you know, have heavy duty illnesses.
Mm-hmm. And then they go down to like more of
Yeah, then you can lower them down to a maintenance dose. And I like 1,000 milligrams a day as a maintenance dose.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of what I tell people too, that ask, should I stay on it after whatever is cleared? And I say, well, yeah, there's more than just HPV out there. There's more than just the flu out there. So you might as well just give your body the regular dose of immune intelligence. That's what I do. And why not? It's not going to hurt anything and help. I pulled out another quote that I would love you to expand on. You touched on it a little bit. I love your quotes. I'm sorry. I'm total fangirling here. But you said, our bodies want to be healthy, but we constantly force them not to be.
That is true. That is true. And the reason, you know, the reason for that is pretty crystal clear. Like, our bodies know how to work and know how to function properly. We are born knowing how to work, basically. We insist every day that that cupcake is better for us than my gut health. That, you know, boozing it up all weekend is better than, you know, having brain cells. You know, that, you know, I want to eat this much, this pile of pasta because it makes me feel good. Well, no, it doesn't make you feel good, and it doesn't make your body feel good, and it doesn't make your body work appropriately. So our bodies do know how to do their jobs. We constantly make them not do it. Right. By what we eat, by what we put in our bodies, by the fact that we don't sleep enough, by the fact that we don't exercise enough. You know, all of those things but play a role in how we damage just what we do to ourselves. You know, I always talk about this in the diabetes epidemic. I'm like, we've eaten ourselves into the diabetes epidemic. We can eat ourselves out of the diabetes epidemic. We don't need all these drugs and all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Just stop eating, like, or not stop eating. Eat, change what you're eating, you know. Take that move from unhealthy food and make healthy food be your guide, right? Like, I'll have patients, you know, new patients come in and they're like, how do you not smell the pizza when you're walking down the block? I'm like, are there pizza places on this block? Like, it's not like I don't even think about it. You know, that's not what I think about when I'm hungry. Like
real food.
Yeah, I don't think about that when I look at, you know, when I think about, yeah, when I'm hungry. Like, that's not where my brain goes to.
Yeah.
So you can train yourself that way. And it's just a matter of training over time and doing all this stuff over time. And people are going to fail, and we're all going to relapse. We all have birthdays. We all have holidays. We all have things we want to celebrate and just not be that abnormal person that doesn't eat, you know, anything. Yeah. But I do think there's times, you know, we're all human. So, but if you eat healthy 90% of the time, 95% of the time, you can have those 5% of the time when you're not eating what might be good for your body.
Mm-hmm. When you say healthy, I feel like that is a very vague, depending on who you speak to, it can mean so many different things. In a nutshell for you, when you say, when I want someone to eat healthy or you need to eat healthy, what is, in just a picture, what is that look like for you and the patients you work with?
Well, it's really simple. I mean, when I say eat healthy, I mean, you know, my big hashtag is sugar kills. So get rid of any sugar in your diet. Get rid of anything that turns into sugar in your diet. I think, you know, human beings were put on the planet to eat very simple foods, you know, meat, vegetables, and by meat, I mean fish, you know, the whole gamut of animal protein. Vegetables, eggs, some, you know, it depends on who the person is. Some people can get away with sprouted grains. Some people can't. You know, I think grains are inherently bad for us in this country because of, you know, how we grow them and how they're all genetically modified and engineered and all of that stuff. So pretty much the easiest way to say it, if it's real food and has no other ingredient but one, then I think you should eat it. But if it's got other ingredients, you know, an avocado is an avocado, you know, an egg is an egg. You know, you don't need things that have 42 ingredients in them.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, so that's really what my version of eating healthy is. You know, we could go, look, I've written 8 other books besides that one that talk about diet. So I could talk about diet forever. And by diet, I mean what you eat, not being on a diet to lose weight, but just what you eat. I think the simplest way of eating is better. You don't need ingredients in your food. You need to just eat real food, yeah. Basically.
I think people overcomplicate it is the thing. They want a complicated, well, just tell me, give me a list. And it's like, I tell people that exact same thing. If it has an ingredient list of one, cabbage, spinach, fish, eggs, broccoli, that's one. Or if it has a commercial for it, you don't ever see foods that you should be eating. Broccoli doesn't have a commercial. That's what you should be eating. If you see it on the TV, just count it out. And I never watched TV, but of course the Super Bowl was on and the commercials and everything. And it blows my mind. I actually said out loud, people still eat Cheetos?
I know, right? Like, and I see people do it. I'm like, if you're in an airport or you're someplace and I'm like, look at your fingers. That's poison that you're putting in your body. Like, I don't get it.
It's 8 a.m. and someone has a Mountain Dew. Again, a commercial on the Super Bowl. And I was like, I thought this was like done. I thought it, like, we've touched that. And now they're saying, this is really actually alarming because the new Mountain Dew, they say sugar-free and it has more caffeine. And instead of sugar, it is sugar-free, but now it uses just all aspartame.
Oh, fantastic.
So, and these commercials are being seen and people say, oh, well, yeah, my doctor told me to get rid of sugar and this says no sugar. If someone doesn't know that aspartame is a carcinogen, then they're going to drink that and be like, yeah, I'm totally fine. No sugar. How are people supposed to know, when you say sugar, that can mean so many different things. And that's what I mean by being an advocate for your own health is you have to dig in and, okay, what does sugar actually mean? How do you
have to learn? You have to really, because again, that's another example of our bodies want to be healthy, but we're told, we're lied to every single day. Every single day we are lied to by the powers that be, the powers that are supposed to make us healthy or to keep us healthy. We are being lied to. We are being led astray by big pharma. We are being led astray by big agribusiness. We are being led astray by big soda. We are being led, big beverage, I should call it, because we have beverages that, what's wrong with drinking water? Like, there's nothing wrong with water. You know what I mean? So we're being led astray all the time because you may not know this, or you probably do, but a lot of people don't, is that on the package, you could say whatever you want to say. Like this water bottle, you could say, this is filled with rice. On the label, you could say that. In the nutritional facts, you'll have to say what's on it.
Yeah.
But on the front, which is what people read, oh, this is the best rice for me. I'll buy this, even though it's water. You know what I mean? So it can literally say anything on the packaging. Mm-hmm. Like, what is a good amount of, a good form of protein? Like, you can say that on a label. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
People don't know what that means. And most people are just looking at the labels, looking at what's pretty, and they know all the buzzwords, gluten-free, vegan, plant-friendly, blah, 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 all the buzzwords of the day. Yet, if you don't look at the nutritional facts, you have no clue what you're eating.
Yes. That is something that I absolutely teach people. Don't look at the front, look at the back. Don't even really worry too much about the whole nutritional panel. Look at the sugar and then look at the ingredient list.
Yep.
And so I think that's one thing that people listening can take away is don't necessarily look at the front. Look at the back is where the truth has to be told, basically.
Yes, it has to be. For now, at least.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it just seems like it's a boulder that we have to push up a hill to be healthy. Like, it's almost a full-time job.
It is. I tell people that all the time. It's a full-time job.
Yeah.
And it's becoming easier and easier, which is nice. Mm-hmm. But then it's becoming, it's becoming something I don't like. It's becoming something for people who can only afford it. And I don't like that at all, but when the United States subsidizes, our five biggest subsidized crops are everything that will kill you, sugar, wheat, soy, corn, and whatever the last one is, Those are things that will kill you. Mm-hmm. But our government does not subsidize organic farming. We, in fact, do not even have a system in place to get organic foods from the farm to the table.
Yeah.
There's not a good system in place. You know, there's, you know, you got to look for your CSAs. You've got to look for your farmers markets. You've got, and then you've got to grill the farmers markets people. Like, what are you really doing to this? You know, can you show me how your chickens are raised? Because, you know, here's what big companies do with like chicken, for instance. They'll say they're pasture raised, right? All pasture raised means by the United States government is that the door to the chicken coop is open.
Mm.
And that they can leave if they want to. So farmers clearly don't want their chickens walking around.
Yeah.
So what they do is they post a guard dog outside the door. They see that the chickens are not dumb. They see that dog, they will not go out that door. And then after a few days, you can take the dog away. They will never leave. They will never go out of that hen house again. So you can't even rely on our government. Our government's organic standards are probably the lowest in the world. So that's why you have to go, you know, and that's why I do most of my food shopping exclusively at my farmer's market that I've been, and I actually go to the farms, and I'm crazy, but I do write about this stuff. So I have to like have some knowledge about it. So, you know, so you really have to be careful because even, you know, here's my favorite, grass fed. Okay. So a grass-fed animal can be grass-fed up until 30 days before it's killed. In those last 30 days, it can be fed anything. Garbage, corn, anything. That's why you've got to go for grass-finished food. You know, grass-finished, you know, grass-finished cow or grass-finished lamb or grass-finished, you know, chickens that live in the outside and eat earthworms and bugs. That's what chickens eat, not corn. So anyway, we're off topic.
No, it is actually, that is one of the things that I teach people about is that food is medicine, or it can be, it has the power to. I graduated from the Academy of Culinary Nutrition last December, and that's what they teach is food is medicine. So this is absolutely on topic, and I wanted people to hear from you, an MD. Not only do you use AHCC in your practice, but it's not just a supplement, it's food. And you also talk about all the other foods that people are eating too. You know, someone will say, well, if I just use AHCC, will it make a difference? And I say, maybe, but really it's part of a healthy overall lifestyle. It's one food, but if you're still going through the drive-thru five times a week, you may not clear your HPV. You may not feel any better. You have to set yourself up for success. And the easiest way to do that is three or four times a day, whenever you put something into your mouth. I tell people that food is not, it's not just food, it's information for your body to take in and to know what to do in the world and how to heal.
I even go a step further with my patients is sort of like, I always tell them that it's important to get food that's grown near you. That, you know, so it's sort of like, it's the same environment. Like I love local food because you kind of, you've got the same microorganisms, the same bacteria, you know, because my bacteria that I have in my body is different than the bacteria you have in yours because you live on the West Coast where it's sunny and nice. And I live on the East Coast where it's hideous for months at a time.
You can come visit anytime, Dr. Fred.
Well, thank you. You know what I mean? So it's different. And I think locally raised food is really super important for people. And I know that's a huge movement in California as well, which I'm very happy to see. I'm like, California is the breadbasket of America. And I hate to use the word breadbasket, but you know, it's where most of the food in our country is raised and you guys were never using it. I'm like, and so now I'm like, I'm loving every time I go out there and seeing here's where all the food is from, and, you know, and the chefs trying to do innovative things with things. It's really, it's an exciting time to be doing all of this. Yeah. Finally.
I feel that living here. I feel like I moved from Washington State last summer and my soul sings here because I feel like people speak the same language and value a lot of the same things. Not everyone, obviously, I feel it that it's, you can talk about these values that you hold that are important to you and like, no, I'm okay. I'm not going to eat the cake. And you don't get looked at like you're crazy. It's like, oh yeah, girl, you do you. It's not a mental thing. I really appreciate that. And hopefully the egg basket of the United States. But I really want to be mindful and respectful of your time. I'm so grateful that you set aside time in your day for this. I do have just a couple more quick questions for you.
Okay. More personal.
And, you know, the medicine podcast I mentioned beforehand is disease prevention for the body, mind, and relationships. And I like to hear from my guests, what for you right now is the medicine? And the medicine is with no E, so it's you know right away it's an alternative type of medicine. It's a different type of medicine. So basically, just for you, what do you consider the medicine for your body, and then your mind, and then your relationship or relationships? Basically, one.
Let's see. So body would be food. I mean, that's my medicine. I mean, it's what I live and what I breathe. So that's that. For my mind is the food for my mind. The first thing that comes to thought is meditation. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it's meditation. It's listening to mindfulness podcasts. It's sort of like nourishing my mind to make sure that my mind has time to sort of think. Mm-hmm. It's clear. And I like listening to, you know, smart people with other ideas about, you know, sort of how do you become mindful? And it's really hard in this day and age to be mindful. And I think we all need practice at that all the time. And so, you know, luckily on my commute every day, which is not far, but at least I get to listen to, you know, podcasts for the mind. So those are a couple of things that I do for that. And what was the last one? Relationships. Mm-hmm. For me, my code word is honesty. Mm. I mean, that's for me, that's my medicine in relationships. I need to, and present. Honesty and present, you know, being present and listening to whatever relationship you're in, whether it's your home relationship, whether it's your patient relationship, whether it's the relationship you have with the doorman or with, you know, the person who packs your groceries, you know, your local bartender. You have relationships with people. And if you're present and you're mindful and you're honest with them, they're only going to grow and be fruitful. So that's that.
Yeah, that's great. I'm getting emotional right now. I was not expecting this, but you embody that just with your energy. I've heard you on other podcasts and interviews, and I, you know, hear your voice in this when I read your words, and I think you fully embody that. And I love that. I love your energy, and I'm sure your patients feel that every day. They are so blessed to have you in their life.
I'm blessed to have them in my life. Yeah. I really do. I love them.
I just want to thank you so much for your work and your education and your openness, your just your growth mindset that is so contagious. And I hope and pray that more medical doctors can get on board with that so that their patients can benefit from that.
Well, that's what we're here for, correct? All of us are here. You're here. I'm here. We're here to help people become their best versions of themselves. So I am grateful for you for giving me this opportunity. And anytime, I'm here, whenever you need me.
And now, this I didn't add in the questions, but I selfishly want to know, for me, as an educator in the space, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I do know probably more. Next to you, I probably know more about AHCC than I would say anyone maybe in the country. Is there a piece of advice for me moving forward as I educate people that you would give to me? I'm curious for myself.
For AHCC or in general?
How I educate people. And you can relate it to AHCC if you want to, but just me moving forward. How I educate people. Is there a...
The way I educate people, I mean, I do it one-on-one and in, you know, large auditoriums and things like that. The way I really educate people is I try to always find, you have to make it really simple. you know, you basically talk to a seventh grader. That's the information you give. And then I try to read the room. So it's sort of like, maybe they're not interested in the way I want to talk about this. So I'll talk about it in a different way. Or with one-on-one, it's easy. I see I'm losing them when I'm talking about this. Let's bring it to something that, you know, so I try to make it about them. If you make the education about them, then they're more willing to listen to what you have to say. Yeah. And you cannot be bombastic about it, which it doesn't seem you are. But it's make it about them. Make education about the other person, and they'll because that's what they want, especially from health educators. Like, they want to know, how do I feel better? I don't care about everybody else. Like, how do I feel better? And so I'm there to tell you how to feel better. And AHCC, fortunately, is one of those supplements that have a lot of uses. I mean, there are lots of others that have multiple sort of uses, but AHCC is definitely one of them.
Yeah. Thank you. I receive that. I appreciate it. And thank you so much.
Thank you for what you do. Thank you so much.
Okay. I'm gonna stop recording, but I'm going to say goodbye to you after. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. We'll see you next time on The Medicine. Bye, you guys.
Did y'all hear me low key invite Dr. Fred to San Diego? I seriously need him to come visit and become best friends with Chase and I. But for real, what I want you to go into the rest of your day with is that you can be, we all can be our own health expert. No doctor knows your body like you do. And there are functional foods like AHCC that can definitely help better equip your body with the tools you need to heal. But ultimately, the best healing modality is your own intuition, your own expertise with your body. Follow that intuition, and like Dr. Fred said, don't let any doctor belittle you for your ideas or questions. I hope you guys loved this interview. If you did, take a screenshot and tag me on Instagram at GetMimiFit so I know who is listening. Have a beautiful day. Go spread some light. Okay, bye.